Money FM 89.3. Best of Breakfast. The U.S. Market Update with Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to the U.S. Markets Wrap. I'm Sean Cheong. The shortened trading week started off with stocks slipping as the rally that brought Wall Street to record levels took a breather. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell slightly by more than 0.4%, closing at 39,313 points. The S&P 500 dipped about 0.31% to finish at 5,218 points, while the Nasdaq Composite was down about 0.25%, settling at 16,384 points. So for more insights, we are joined by Chris Weston, the head of research at Pepperstone. Good morning, Chris.
Hello.
Good morning, Chris. We are seeing equities subdued after a strong week. Where are investors focusing on this shortened holiday week?
A very, very strong week in the Nasdaq and the S&P. So I think having a breather when we really didn't have a huge amount of new news is probably not a major surprise. The fact that we're holding on to the gains, I think, is probably testament to the fact that we could easily make another leg higher. But, we don't really have a huge amount of Tier 1 data to focus on this week. We do have, some pretty influential Fed members we're going to be listening to from the likes of Christopher Waller and Jerome Powell later this week. But then we've got the core PCE inflation numbers. But apart from that, really, there's not new news necessarily to feed the beast that we need to see when we're obviously at quite high valuation levels. But there are things that are moving on the day. We've seen Reddit having a very strong day. It's up 30%. We've seen some of the AI names looking pretty good. Micron continues to work well. New cycle highs playing through there. NVIDIA's added about 1%. And we're looking for new all-time highs there. And, we've seen some of the other tech names under a bit of pressure. But I think it's one of the bullish side of things is we are seeing the rotation, a little bit of rotation into small caps, a little rotation into energy stocks after crude. So I think that's a sign of a very bullish market is when you have a really strong run and then and traders flip out one sector into another and rotate. That's a very positive sign.
Okay, so the central bank's projections for fewer interest rate cuts delivered on some of the hawkish hype, but the chair's dovish tone carried more weight for the markets. Why are Powell's words mightier than the Fed's dot plot?
Well, the market sees what it wants to see on any given day, and we trade the aggregation of these behaviours, I guess. But, the dot plot was less than 3 rate cuts, only just. So there was an element of the market betting last week that perhaps we could see the median dot pulled up to 2. So that was a small tick for the risk box, I guess. But, the fact is that at the same time, they upgraded their GDP forecast by way more than what the market was looking for this year. So well over 2%. And, I think that's a big positive. I think the fact that Jerome Powell is also saying that a strong labour market is not going to be an impediment for them to cut rates is a big tick. And I think the fact is that the Fed really want to be in a position to cut rates. So it's pretty clear from Jerome Powell's tone that he wants to cut rates and he wants to do it in June as well as start to contract the balance or the pace of QT as well. So all of those factors were initially taken as a reason to sell US dollars. And we came back and started buying US dollars late last week. But then, from an equity perspective, it's been certainly a big positive. But I think what also it does is it changes the way that we react to data going forward. The reaction function from the Fed has shifted a little bit because they're quite keen to get going with cutting rates. Any downside now to economic data, you'll see a bigger upside move in equities and downside move in the US dollar than if we were to see, the reaction on better data. So, the market's going to be more sensitive to downside misses there.
Okay, and Easter's just around the corner. So let's just take a trip down memory lane. In the 1970s, there was inflation, but also good music such as hot chocolate. So consumer survey show inflation expectations continue to moderate. Spending is hip and frugality is in a funk. So why is the CPI following exactly the 1970s?
Well, I think if you overlap the 1970s to where we are now, it suggests we've probably got a bit more downside in realised inflation before we start making another move higher, would be a major concern. I think that it's difficult to make that to say that's definitely going to happen. I mean, what we look for is that there are market-based levels of expectations of inflation, and they're still reasonably well anchored. They're not really giving us any kind of major concerns that the actual rates market is too concerned about inflation spiking up one more time. I'll give you an example. So, you know, if you look at five-year forward break-even rates, which is a measure of expected inflation over the next 5, 10 years, we're looking at 2.25%, and that really hasn't moved up too much. That said, you know, we are starting to see energy prices starting to move up again. That's a concern. You know, everyone, you talk about Easter, you go, cocoa has been an absolute flyer. We're now trading 9,706. It's just absolutely in beast mode. So there are reasons to monitor this situation very, very closely, because at the end of the day, like I think equity markets around the world are comfortable with rate cuts being priced out of the market as long as it's determined on better growth. Where I think the markets get more concerned and we see much higher volatility, and we were to see this sort of 5-10% drawdown in the S&P and NASDAQ, would be if rate cuts are priced out because of it, higher inflation forces. That to me is the biggest risk to markets now, would be a resumption of higher inflation forces that play through. There's no way in the world that equities can sustain these current levels if we get more concerned about inflation raising its head again.
Okay, so on the note of cocoa and chocolate, let's stay on that point. Some food companies like Hershey's and Reese have reported slowing sales because of higher chocolate and sugar prices. So with cocoa prices being a good example of inflation that cannot be hedged, could the CPI have a 1970s renaissance sooner than envisioned?
I can't remember. Without having a look at the levels of inflation in 1970s, I mean, I think there were some charts bandied around on social media yesterday of overlapping current CPI relative to the 1970s, and that's where we start seeing the resumption of higher levels. I guess one of the major differences is that the Fed don't look at CPI and set policy to CPI. They now, unlike the 1970s, they set policy to core PCE, or personal consumption expenditures. And what that does is that takes elements of the CPI basket and also from the producer price inflation basket and creates this index that they use to set policy by. And that has different weightings around things like rents and owners of equivalents, rents and healthcare and back factors. So it's slightly different from the CPI, which is different from the 1970s. But for me, I'm not an economist, so I'm not going to make predictions about where inflation is going to go. What I look at very closely is market-based levels of inflation. And as I said, as it stands at the moment, they have risen a bit, but they're not at levels that make me genuinely concerned that we're going to see a 1970s spike re-acceleration inflation at this stage. And that may be wrong. But it does need monitoring because, as I say, it is the biggest risk to markets. But at this stage, the markets are saying that we're still fairly comfortable with the idea that inflation, will resume back down to target in the Fed's target over, by the end of this year, if not in 2025. That it could be dynamic, but that's kind of what the market's saying to me at the moment.
Okay, so it seems like the sweet Easter baskets will likely come at a bitter cost this year for consumers as the price of cocoa climbs to record highs. So let's take a look closer at our shore, since you're in Australia. What are we expecting from cocoa investors this Easter?
Well, right now, the cocoa price, and I'm not an expert in that world, I mean, I think there does seem to be a pretty clear cocoa bean shortage playing through at the moment, and I think it's completely a supply issue. As is what's the case in a lot of the commodity markets we've been seeing. We've recently seen copper moving up quite nicely. We've seen crude having a nice move up. It's all to do with supply. It's not a demand story. There's not just suddenly this wave of demand that's coming through for people wanting to consume chocolate, even though we're coming into a strong seasonal period for it. This is a complete supply issue that's happening because of what's happening in West Africa. But then also you add in, momentum. There's a lot of people, a lot of big funds who have to buy stuff that's going up because their rules dictate it. And I think that's exactly what you've seen. So, look, I mean, ultimately, whether this big move that we've been seeing in cocoa, and it's been an exponential move in the last couple of months, feeds through into higher Easter egg prices and higher chocolate prices is yet to be seen, or whether that, but it will come, and there's no doubt that you will have people who are chocolate lovers will be paying higher prices at some stage. Hopefully it doesn't hit us by Easter. I've got an army of kids that I need to feed with Easter eggs, and I could personally use with not having to pay double the price for eggs as well.
Interesting stuff there, Chris. Let's hope you get your eggs at good prices. Thank you for your time today and happy Easter.
Pleasure, thank you.
All right, we've been speaking with Chris Weston, the head of research at Pepperstone, and this is Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.